a friend will come to us and say, hey, let's go fishing this weekend. Oh, I cannot go this Sunday. Oh, how come? Oh, because. Because what? I go church.
What?
I go church.
Church? You said church?
Yeah.
How come you go in church?
My mother make me go.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to take us through the story of one of the greatest men of faith ever mentioned in the Bible, and it's probably not who you're thinking of. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, No Greater Faith.
Would you take out your notes as we continue in our season of gifts? Let's see how some people spent their money this Christmas. Britney Spears last year, in one day alone, just for her family, spent $155,000. Not bad for gifts. Well, Ben Affleck wouldn't be outdone, so he bought for Jennifer Lopez's mom a Mercedes-Benz of $230,000. And then for Jennifer Lopez, a fur coat, $70,000. And to top it off with an engagement ring, a little over $1 million for that rock, $1 million. Well, there is a catalog out called the DuPont Registry. That's a catalog for those that would like to spend whatever for Christmas gifts, to give something to a loved one who has everything. So here's some of them, just to name a few. Would you like a new boat? Here's one. It's your own submarine, $80 million. Your own sub. Or if you would like a necklace, no, just not any necklace, 144 carat of diamonds worth, $10 million. Would you like to hang that around your neck? And for the family-minded, we find a Bentley estate wagon. It's called the ultimate family vehicle for the truly refined. A Bentley estate wagon, $450,000, one car. And if you're limited in funds and you're sort of like a historian, Amberica West is offering a prehistoric lizard they found, and it's encased in amber or like tree sap, and it's only $138,000 for this, one lizard. Well, I knew my wife wanted that, so I went to the internet to buy it for her, and oh, it was already sold. So, but fear not, offered by Sharper Image. For a mere $14,000 is a 7-foot-tall Darth Vader statue. $14,000. I was thinking about buying it, but I see Elwin Ahu every day at the office, so I...
He could be your father.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. So, but since I couldn't get the prehistoric lizard, or Jen Lowe's fur coat for $70,000, I thought I would get my wife something better. And it would rival even moi. I got her a Ross's gift certificate. Well, what do you think is the most ultimate gift? Maybe that even if you gave God, he'd marvel. Wow. Well, it was exampled by someone who did exactly that. Oh, it wasn't a theologian or a rabbi that thought of this gift. It was a mere common soldier. That's right, a centurion in Matthew 8. He gives a gift to the Lord that it marvels God himself. Now, I mean, when God marvels, it must be a pretty tremendous gift. We're going to read about this story in Matthew chapter 8, and I'm going to give you some context of it. And then when we get to verse 10... that verse is the apex of this story, and it's written there at the top of your notes, and we'll read that together. But let me first give you some context. When Jesus entered Capernaum, which is on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, a centurion came to him, imploring him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, great, I'll come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Please just speak the word and my servant will be healed. Because I also am a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another, come, he comes. I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. Just say the word. Now, let's read what Jesus' reply was at the top of your notes. Go. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." Would you underline the words, "he marveled"? It's pretty interesting when God marvels, the creator of the universe. And then would you circle the three words, "such great faith"? The Lord is marveling and saying, you know, I have not found this level of faith in all of Israel. Among all the religious leaders, among all the lawyers and the scribes, I have not found this level of faith. Now, I found other levels of faith, but not this level of faith, not in all of Israel. I say to you, he continues, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of this kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, a place where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, you know, go, it shall be done for you just as you believe. And the servant was healed that very hour. The Lord is saying, I have not seen this level of faith in all of Israel, of all of the ones that know the Old Testament and the law. I found faith, but not this level of faith. You see, there's a lot of people that we know of, and we've read stories of heroes and men and women of great accomplishment that had great faith in themselves and their adventuresome spirit. They had faith to build large projects. They could start and build world-renowned companies. They would scale mighty mountains and gain athletic accomplishments. We've seen those with great faith to spring back from failure. Such faith that would overcome disabilities and conquer adversity, triumph over the odds and become multimillionaires. We've seen that kind of faith. But what is the kind of faith that marvels God? I study often men and women of great accomplishment and heroes and their courage and their faith. And it's all great. But what kind of faith is God talking about that marvels the King of Kings himself so that all of heaven would stand up and take notice? Well, in Matthew 8, this kind of faith is not exampled by a rabbi, not exampled by a celebrity or some great author or theologian. It was exampled by a common soldier. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, I'm just a nobody. I could never marvel God. I could never delight the Lord. But what God is showing us here is that it's not those of great status that are the ones that marvel God. It's the common everyday people that know how to apply something we call faith. And we're going to see it's in the way that this soldier applied it. Some qualities of this kind of faith that the Lord says, this level of faith, I have not found in all of Israel. And it was shown by a common man. Well, what kind of faith? What are some of the qualities? First of all, I want us to notice that this was exampled by a soldier, but not just any kind of soldier. It was a centurion. Now, a centurion is a Roman soldier. Now, in those days, in order to gain or capture total allegiance to the Caesar or to the emperor, they would make the emperor a demigod, which means he would be half God, half man, someone who is supposedly a descendant of the Roman gods. And so your allegiance to this emperor is like worship. And if you ever broke that and followed any other gods, well, it would be blasphemy. And you would receive the curse of the gods. And so even to worship any other would be one of the greatest sins. It would be a falling away. They did that with Emperor Hirohito in the Second World War, as they would deem him a descendant of the sun god. So he was like a demigod, and that emperor would command allegiance and worship from his people. So for this Roman centurion to come to Jesus and ask for healing, to ask the Lord to identify with him, was a huge risk. He had to be willing to say no to the Roman Empire and yes to Christ. He had to be willing to change identities. And it's not just sneaking. It's sort of like taking off a team jersey and changing teams and putting on another jersey. And once that happens, you are identifying with a new team and all that it entails. But he was willing to do that. You see, one of the primary qualities of a faith that marvels God is, would you write in number one, it's a faith that identifies with God. A faith that identifies with God. Let's read what the scripture says as we review again what this centurion did. Read it with me, go. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. He calls him Lord. And in doing so, he sort of switches teams and he identifies with Jesus. You know, a lot of us have a little tough time doing that because it's a little hard because we have to be willing to identify completely with someone that others may not hold in high esteem. And it may risk some of the things about us. We have to be willing to switch teams. A lot of us are more like chameleon Christians. Have you seen a chameleon? You put it on a green leaf and it sort of turns green. Then you put it on a brown bark and it sort of turns brown. It basically dissolves into, blends in with whatever environment it's put in. And sometimes it's easier for us to do that. We sort of want to just blend in. So if we're with friends and they tell off-color jokes, we have a tendency to do that too. We're with friends that are doing a certain kind of behavior, we sort of blend into that. And then when we're at church, we blend in there. But then we're back over here. We're sort of like chameleons. And the Lord is saying the beginning of having a faith that's of a level and a quality that he's not found in all Israel are those who are willing to identify completely with Jesus, with complete honor. And it's a natural thing. It's so easy just to kind of be ambivalent as that chameleon. But the Lord is saying, are you willing to identify completely with the Lord? Let's read what it says in Romans 1:16. Go. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone. Oh, we do that sometimes. We are a little ashamed. I know I can be. A friend will come to us and say, hey, let's go fishing this weekend.
I cannot go this Sunday.
Oh, how come?
Oh, because.
Because what?
I gotta go to church.
What?
I gotta go to church.
Church? You said church?
Yeah.
How come you go in church?
My mother make me go.
You know, and it's just sort of tentative. We're like that a lot. And the Lord is saying the beginnings of a great faith is when we say, no, I choose to identify with the Lord. Not because of some penal code where they say, if you don't, then. Mm-mm. There's a transformation of heart that takes place. And when that transformation of heart takes place, behavior just follows. But if we're trying to change behavior without heart, it's hard as nails. Because it's so difficult to change behavior and the heart hasn't changed yet. I remember that happened when I was just a brand new Christian. And I was driving a 65 Mustang. I was going to head on down to Bible college. And I had just purchased a bumper sticker, this fluorescent bumper sticker. It said, select Jesus to be your Savior. And I put it on my bumper on my car. Well, about a week later, some friends of mine from the old rock and roll group I used to be in said, hey, there's a lead guitarist that was going to go and leave for college in another city. So they said, we're going to have a kegger. Come on over. We got some good stuff that's going to be flowing. So you better come. Okay. And so I decided to go. Well, the night came and I'm driving to this place. Now, I'm a Christian on my way to Bible college, and yet there's still that pull. And so I thought, well, you know, it's my last time with my friends. And so I was driving down there, and I remembered as I'm going to this party, I thought, oh, no, that bumper sticker. I got Jesus on my bumper. I can't go to that party with Jesus on my car. So, and I'm not proud of this, I pulled over, and I took that bumper sticker off my bumper. and it's just like one of these plastic things that kind of stretches and I have to pull it off. I crumpled it up and threw it in my back seat. And I went over to the party. Well, I mean, the booze was flowing. It was beer being chased with Southern Comfort, and we had doobies going around like crazy. And so we were just having this party. But you know what? Right in the middle of taking a whiff, you know, I didn't inhale. But right in the middle, I thought, what am I doing? I thought, I don't want to do this. I want to serve God. And I looked at this can, I put this down, I handed that thing off, and I thought, what in the world? I don't want to do this. And I felt like I was in this foreign place. It's like voices were echoing, and I thought, where am I? What am I doing here? You see, what happens is when Jesus comes into your heart, he changes you on the inside. And your behavior just starts to fall away. It's not because someone's there with a whip saying, if you take one, It's like, I don't want to do it anymore. It's like, whatever, but I don't want to do it. I just don't have an appetite for this anymore. See, Jesus doesn't come and change your behavior so you look like, act like a Christian, smell like a Christian, talk like a Christian, but your heart is into the world. No, he changes heart first. And I know many times the Christian churches, we've turned that around so we make sure everybody, do this, don't do that, and we forget the heart. Just so long as they look like, act like, and smell like, then it's okay. And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to change your heart. And even though after a while there's still a little bit of residue of behavior, I'm going to change your heart, and that's going to just fall away. Well, I remember getting into my car and driving down 82nd Avenue. And I started to cry because I just denied the Lord so much. It wasn't just a bumper sticker. It was I denied him. I didn't want to identify with him. I pulled over into this shopping center called Fred Meyer Shopping Center. And I pulled in there and I pulled that thing out of the back seat. And have you ever tried to take adhesive off of adhesive? So I am pulling this thing apart crying. Oh, I'm so sorry, Jesus. I'm so sorry. And I put this thing back on my bumper. And it's all wrinkled, you know, and some of the adhesive is gone. So I'm driving home. That thing is flapping behind me in the wind, you know. And I went home and I got scotch tape. And I scotch taped that thing on. And it stayed on my bumper till I sold the car. And I looked back at that and I thought, Lord, you changed my heart. And I was trying to live in a foreign world with a transformed heart. Can't do that. You know, that's, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. And it doesn't mean just pass. It means like if someone passes away, old things have died. So in other words, the old Wayne died and there's a new man. That's what being born again means. And so when you get baptized in water, basically, you know what you're doing? You're burying the old man. That's the symbolism. You bury that old man. You don't drag a cadaver around with you of the old man. No, that stinks. So you bury him. And that's what baptism is. I bury the old man and I come up as a new creation and I'm going to walk with a new heart after Jesus Christ. I'm going to identify with him. It's my honor to do so. And so I always look back at that and I think, oh God, help me to identify with you. And that's exactly what that Roman centurion did. It wasn't just someone saying, okay, I'll go to church. No, this is a Roman centurion who took off the jersey of the empire and put on the jersey of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord looked at him and said, you know, you are touching on one of the greatest levels of faith there is because you're willing to identify, not to chameleon out, but to be someone who identifies with the King. All of us need to grow in that, and we will. That's the greatest level of faith. And the second is this, when he came to Jesus, he said, Lord, would you heal my servant? And the Lord said, I'll heal him. But remember what he said? He said, let's read it under number two, and then we'll fill it in. The centurion said, go. Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word. and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. This is amazing. He said, Lord, I am too a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And if you'll just speak, I know, because I tell one go and he goes. If you just say the word, that word is going to go and it will obey you. And God says to his followers, whoa, do you hear this man's faith? I have not found this level of faith anywhere in Israel. And he marveled. What was another quality of this faith? Would you write down number 2? A complete trust in God's word. A complete trust in God's word. It was after this that he said this, that the Lord marvels. You see, the centurion doesn't question God's word, doesn't doubt it, doesn't debate it, regardless of what others say. He says, Lord, you speak the word, because I say that to my subordinates, and they go, and they don't question it. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word of God or the scripture is not a sentence in literature. The word of God is living. It's like an entity. And so that word of God is under authority to do what it's told to do. So when God speaks the word, this obeys the master. Because the word of God, again, isn't just a sentence in literature. It is living, active. That's why Isaiah 55:11 says, the word which I speak does not go forth from me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. And the centurion said, God, if you spoke, as Hebrews 11 says, and the heavens were made. In Psalm 33, he spoke and the stars stood fast. He said, stop. I don't know if the stars were moving around in the beginning or in, you know, this chaotic mode. And it says God spoke and it just started blinking. Bleep, 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 bleep. For millions of years, the Lord just said, stop and shine. And they did. And everything went into perfect rotational orbit. And the centurion says, if you can do that with the heavens, you just say the word because your word is going to obey you. I'm fine with that. And the Lord said, whoa, this is a kind of level of faith I have not seen anywhere in Israel. And what he's saying is, when I honor God's word, I am actually honoring the one who spoke the word. When I obey God's word, I am obeying the one who speaks the word. I honor him who sent the word. And when God sees that, he sees a faith that is absolutely stellar. But I want you to see something else about this, the man who took this word. He didn't apply it primarily to himself. I want you to see the selflessness with which he applied the word of God. Did he implore God for himself? Did he entreat God, oh God, promote me to captain, promote me to major, then maybe emperor. Oh, help me get a bigger... That's okay. Sometimes we pray for ourselves. But I want you to see that the highest level of faith is not when I entreat God for me. It was almost as if he was dispensable. He himself was disposable. He was praying not for himself, but for his what? His servant. Do you know that one of the highest levels of faith is when we entreat God not for ourselves, but for another person? Another. Most of the time we pray for ourselves. I was reading this and some days ago and I thought, I wonder how much of my prayer is for me, moi, and mine. And I was sitting there and I was thinking about my prayers over the last few days. And I thought, you know, it's all about me. Oh God, give me a good day today, Lord. I'm going to go out and surf. So really keep me safe. Give me good waves. Hallelujah, Lord. Just bring the swell right up, right when I need it. Oh God, and take the other surfers. Just transport them somewhere, oh God. And Lord, I pray for, you know, what I'm going to be doing tomorrow and the next day. And I'm going to do this and do that. Oh God, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's not wrong to pray for ourselves, but when that's all we do, we'll never enter into, ever gain that level of faith that marvels God. How often we use God's word for ourselves to gain more, accumulate more. The Lord is saying, it's not wrong, But if we do it exclusively, it's not right. The greatest level of faith is when I take the promises of God and apply it to others.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled No Greater Faith by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening, and until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.